Our early gospel reading is from John chapter 12, beginning at verse 12. Praise and glory to God. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him. Rongapai tene a teka aiti. This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ the Word.
I'm going to use this mic. Yeah, thanks. So we're going to have this reading together. This is an interactive gospel reading. So there are certain parts which are in bold, and I can invite you, if you'd like, to join in with those words. And they're words of the crowd. They're words of various bystanders and people that were there in the scene at the time. So we can do that together. Is that all right? If you'd like to stand, so this is the gospel reading, and we're going straight into the gospel reading. It's a wee bit longer than a normal reading, but this tells the story of what happened once Jesus was welcomed in, as Bruce said, and many of those voices that were saying Hosanna started to turn and say, "Crucify him." So we'll read this together. As soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews? You say so." Then the chief priests accused him of many things, and Pilate asked him again, "Have you no answer? See how many charges they bring against you." But Jesus made no further reply, so that Pilate was amazed. Now at the festival, he used to release a prisoner for them, anyone whom they asked. Now a man called Barabbas was in prison with the rebels who had committed murder during the insurrection. So the crowd came and began to ask Pilate to do for them according to his custom. Then he answered them, "Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" For he realized that it was out of jealousy that the chief priests had handed him over. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release Barabbas for them instead. Pilate spoke to them again, "Then what do you wish me to do with the man you call the king of the Jews?"
"Crucify him."
"Why? What evil has he done?"
"Crucify him."
So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas for them. And after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers led him into the courtyard of the palace, that is, the governor's headquarters, and they called together the whole cohort. And they clothed him in a purple cloak, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on him, and they began saluting him, "Hail, King of the Jews." They struck his head with a reed, spat upon him, and knelt down in homage to him. After mocking him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. They compelled a passerby who was coming in from the country to carry his cross. It was Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus. Then they brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of a skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his clothes among them, casting lots to decide what each should take. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. The inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him, they crucified 2 bandits, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads. In the same way, the chief priests, along with the scribes, were also mocking him among themselves. "He saved others, he cannot save himself. If the Messiah, King of Israel, come down from the cross now, so that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also taunted him. When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said,
"Listen, he is calling for Elijah."
And someone ran, filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink, saying,
"Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down."
Then Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was God's son." This is the Gospel of Christ. Te rongopai tēnei a te karaiti. Praise to Christ the Word. Whakamamoititia ia te kupu mana. And Lord Jesus, as we hear these words, we thank you. As we look and see you lifted up on the cross, we thank you and we love you. Thank you for the griefs and the shame you bore for us. Thank you for the love that you displayed, that you gave, that you poured out in giving yourself for us. Thank you, Jesus, that you are truly the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. The one that we can trust, the one whose wounds we can trust. Forgive us, Lord. Heal us, Lord. Help us, Lord. And let us meet with you this morning and more each day. And carry your presence into the world. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please take a seat. Oops, this sounds ringing a bit, but it's all right. It's quite incredible, isn't it, in this moment. We get a, here on Palm Sunday, there's this incredible turn, and I think Andrew was talking about that a bit last week, how the people that are praising 1 minute, and he was talking in the context of the America's Cup, can the next minute be baying for, you know, or just lopping someone's tall poppy, you know, head off. And we do that. And on Palm Sunday, we hear the incredible story of Jesus coming into Jerusalem and all the celebrations that go with that, followed by crucify him, crucify him. Palm Sunday is a kind of chance to hear the story that we're going to enter into more deeply this week. As we go through Holy Week, as it's called, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we'll actually have a very simple, very kind of short and simple Eucharist in the morning at 8:30 here, if you want to come for that. And then on Maundy Thursday, we'll have a service, very simple, in the evening down at St. Michael's. And then Good Friday, of course, we'll be really going into the story of what happened to Jesus on the cross and what that means for us. And we'll be doing that in various ways. You know, here at 10 o'clock at St. Luke's, there's a 9:15 service up at St. Andrew's, which I think they'll be using their garden and stuff. It sounds really lovely. The one here is more for children and families, but for everyone. And we'll be able to see godly play in action as well. We'll be using godly play and then have hot cross buns. And down at St. Michael's, we'll be having a really kind of serious 3 hours at the cross, but in two halves, so that people can come to one half or the other if they want. And that's a chance to enter again more deeply into the things that happened on Good Friday and then Easter Sunday, the resurrection. But it's wonderful to be able to do that. We can do that at any point during the year, but particularly at this season, we get to focus in on what Jesus did for us. There's so much to say about that, and I'm just going to say a couple of things. But one is, it's all around the idea of kingship. That's what I kind of want to focus on this morning, kingship. When Jesus comes into Jerusalem riding on a donkey, he rides into Jerusalem. People throw down their cloaks and they throw down, branches that they've ripped off various things, including palms. And they throw these things down so that he can walk across them. It's dusty, stony territory in the Middle East, particularly around that area. He's come into Jerusalem with his disciples and a whole bunch of people following him. And as you do that, for those of you who have been to Jerusalem, you'll know, you come up this big hill, if you're coming from that direction, and as you sort of crest the hill at the Mount of Olives, you suddenly see Jerusalem, because there's this kind of like dip, and then Jerusalem's built on the next hill. And it's incredible, you know. It's just an incredible sight. You kind of crest the brow of the hill, and there's this city, and you know, it's got walls and it looks really cool, and you can see all the buildings and things, which are beautiful kind of old things, all poking up over the top of the walls, and it's this city on a hill and it looks incredible. And these disciples following Jesus are already excited and they're thinking something's going to happen. We know that this is good. Jesus is coming, and he's coming to do something. He's coming to do something in Jerusalem, and we really want to see our nation free from the oppression it's been under. We really want to see this freedom. And they crest the hill, and they see Jerusalem, and their hearts must have been leaping with joy. And it's, what's more, it's the Passover, isn't it? And the Passover is one of the biggest festivals. There's festivals throughout the year, and the Passover is this huge festival where loads of people from all over the country come into Jerusalem. It's so big that there's not enough rooms for everyone in the city, which is why many people stayed in villages around the city, because there just wasn't room in the city. There's so many people. And in fact, Jesus stays in Bethany, doesn't he? He doesn't stay in Jerusalem that night, but he comes in, and there's just huge amounts of anticipation and energy in the air. What we don't always know, but you guys probably do, is that 200 years before... Hello, I'm loud again. That's good. Yeah, 200, that's all good. 200 years before, Judas Maccabeus rode into Jerusalem with people waving branches and throwing their cloaks down. And he cleared out the temple and started a reign, a dynasty that lasted... He chucked out... The invading army of the day, and he cleared the temple and started a dynasty that lasted 100 years. It only sort of came to an end about 100 years before Jesus appeared. So there was this big moment, and it was in everyone's minds. Everyone remembered that Judas Maccabeus, 200 years before, had ridden into Jerusalem, cleansed the temple, thrown out the occupying powers, and started a new kingdom, a new dynasty that lasted 100 years. and they knew that it finished 100 years before their time. But they knew that Jesus was coming in. Everyone was calling him king. He was riding into Jerusalem. People were throwing down their cloaks, palm branches. You don't throw your cloak down for a friend, you know, in the middle. You know, you just, yeah, it's dusty, stony, you know, dirty. You would not throw down, you know, oh, here, mate, you know, let me help you across that little puddle or whatever it is. You wouldn't do that. You know, you wouldn't do it for an important person necessarily. You'd do this only for royalty. This is something reserved for, like, a king or a queen. You throw down your cloak, you rip palm branches, and you throw them down. And they did this. They knew that this, and the Bible tells us, you know, that he was received as a king. He came, right, you know, behold, your king comes, meek and riding on a colt, the foal of an ass. So Jesus comes in as king. People are remembering Judas Maccabeus. They're remembering, this is it. He's going to clear the Romans out, you know. We're going to have a great victory. And they're super excited. But they're excited for the wrong thing. Nearly the right thing. The right thing in the wrong way. That makes sense? Yes, he's a king, but he's not that kind of bloodthirsty king who's going to drive out the enemy by the sword. He's a very different sort of king, which is why many of them were disappointed when he didn't do what they wanted, and many of them were able to turn or be turned against him. So Jesus comes in as a king. What kind of king is he? What kind of king is Jesus really? Well, he doesn't ride a war horse into Jerusalem, does he? What does he ride? Yeah, a donkey. Donkeys, as you know, and I heard that we had one here a few years ago. Does anyone remember the donkey here? we've had, yeah, an interesting time with sheep in church, in churches I've been in. And then realizing, we should have planned for that, as we have to scoop bits and pieces up afterwards. But anyway, donkeys, as you all know. I remember a friend of mine having a donkey in church, and everyone was standing up, you know, as the donkey came in, and the person who was playing Jesus rode the donkey. And everyone's looking around. You know, if you imagine us all standing up now, and you're in the pews, people were looking around to try and see the person riding the donkey. And they couldn't see him because his head didn't stick up above the crowd. It was actually lower than the crowd because donkeys are pretty squat little things, aren't they? And so you're not like a war horse above everyone. You're actually below everyone if you're riding a donkey. This king is a different sort of king, and his kingship is a different sort of kingship. I don't know if you know, but the early church had hymns that they used to sing, obviously. And one of them is about Jesus. You know, Jesus says, I, when I am lifted up, will draw all people to myself. And he's lifted up on the cross. The early church had hymns about him reigning from the tree being the cross, the wood. And they talked about him reigning from the tree. That's the kind of king, the king who reigned from the cross, like that was his throne. And that's what the Gospel of John does all the way through. It's talking about glory, and we heard it again last week, glory. And so Andrew talked about the glory of those who, you know, win things for us, and how ephemeral, you know, how short-lived that glory can be. But this glory that John talks about in his gospel is the glory of the cross. He just keeps referring to the cross when he's talking about glory. This is a really different kind of king. But he's still a king. Jesus is a king, and kings need to be obeyed, don't they? Kings do need to be honored with our lives, you know, throwing down cloaks. Kings demand all sorts of things, really, don't they, actually, in real life? Again, what kind of king is Jesus? Just to help us reflect on that, if we go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1, we hear, don't we, that God creates everything. So God's there before everything is, God is, and then he creates the whole universe. And as he creates and defines and distinguishes between things and separates things out, and he eventually creates human beings. He creates all these animals, fish, blah, 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 all that kind of thing in the book of Genesis. Then he creates human beings. And when he creates human beings, something different about them. There's something different about them. And he says, I want you to multiply and fill the earth and to subdue it and to rule over it. To rule over it. And what does that word rule mean? To be lord over it. To be governor of it. All right? That ruling word is a royal word, isn't it? And kings and queens rule over nations. We are supposed to rule, you and I, over creation. But anyone notice that there can be good kings and queens and bad ones? And the worst just take from their people, don't they? They take, you know, they tax them heavily and they build great palaces for themselves while the people just have to work for the king or the queen. That's not Jesus' kingship. But look around. Is that how we rule over creation often? Is it? Do we just take what we want and use it for our own means to make ourselves richer while it suffers? You know? Do we do that with other people? Our whole, you know, system in the West, we are very often taking from people, making them poorer so we can be richer, aren't we? I won't go into economics. I don't know enough about it. But there's a lot of greed around. What kind of king is Jesus? Is he that kind of king? What kind of ruling and reigning does Jesus do? Well, we see in this story, he comes in, people are chucking down, you know, cloaks and branches. They're saying, yes, we want you, Jesus. You're the king of kings. You know, you're our king. You're our ruler. You're coming in to do this stuff. And he does it in a completely different way. He twists the whole thing. He comes in on a donkey. He's lower than everyone else. He dies on a cross. He gives his life out of love for everyone. And then he takes his life up again. As it says in John's gospel, I've been given authority to lay it down and authority to take it up. And he takes his life up again and he says, I've been given this authority by my Father. And so he takes his life up again and he says, if you want life in all its fullness, I've got it for you. I've won it for you in the most painful way imaginable, because I love you. And my way is this way. It's the way of the cross. That's how I rule and reign. On the cross, from the cross, because of the cross. He, in heaven, Christ still has his wounds. One day we'll be able to touch them and feel his nail-scarred hands. He's ruling and reigning as the humble king, as the servant king, as we say in our songs, as the one who gives his life for others. Jesus says, doesn't he, in the middle of Mark's gospel, there's a turning point where Jesus is fixes his face towards Jerusalem, where he's going to go and he's going to die. And on the way, he starts teaching the disciples on the journey what that means, what his death means. And three times he tells them, and three times they go, no way, Lord, you can't do that. And three times he says, I'm going to suffer, You know, the Son of Man's going to suffer and die. He's going to be mocked. And three times they're like, no, you can't do that. And he's like, they just don't get it yet. And in the middle of that bit, that Mark 10, 45, Jesus has that bit, you know, where he says, the Son of Man came not to be served. That's not his kingship. But to serve, that's how he rules and reigns. And to give his life a ransom for many. And he says, look at the nations. They lord it over you. Not so with you. For the first will become last, and the least of all will be the greatest. It's so cool, isn't it? It's so exciting. I just love Jesus' lordship, you know? It's a different kind of lordship. It's a lordship that gives life to others. There's a wonderful word in Thrill, which is manaki tanga. And mana, we all know what mana is. Mana's, you know, you're kind of... your mana, yeah. I don't know how to put it in English. yeah. And your status and your authority and kind of, you know, it's so many things. It's your well-being as well. But it's, you know, who you are in front of others. And your mana, manaakitanga, is about enhancing others' mana. And we use that word in our prayers as blessing. It means to bless when we use it in prayers often. So, yeah. You know, the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If you say that in Tyrell, it's manaki, the blessing. And so manaki is to aki someone's mana, is to build up someone's mana, to give them more standing, to build them up. That's what blessing is. And it's a wonderful image, I think, because that's what Jesus does. He gives himself so that others can be built up. He gives his life so that your life and mine can be built up. He manakis us. He builds up our mana. And he gives himself to do that. Is that wonderful? It's good news, isn't it? That's his lordship. That's how he reigns. That's Jesus' kingship. It's giving yourself for others. And so it's not exploiting others for your own expense. If I want to be a part of Jesus' body and I want to bring his reign, his rule, his kingdom into the earth, you know, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, because it's getting done up there. And I look around here and there's not a lot of God's will getting done in a lot of places. So I want to see your kingdom come. I want to see your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And the way is your way, Jesus. I'm part of your body, your self-giving body. The body that doesn't rule through exploitation. And if it has, and where it has, because it has, we need to repent. Because that isn't Jesus' way. But we want to be those that bring God's rule of justice, peace, and joy. Kingly rule of justice, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, as Paul calls it. By laying down our lives as Jesus, as our Lord, as our King, laid down his life and giving ourselves for others as he gave himself for us. And it's a joyful thing. And we know, don't we, that the more we do that, the more of his life we find ourselves, incredibly. The more we give ourselves for others, the more we lay down our lives, the more of his life we find in ourselves, and we're able to give more of his life to others. Sound good? You all right? Yeah. So, I'm holding on to my little palm cross, and I want to keep this with me this year, and just remember that. Remember that Jesus is a king who reigns, not from some throne of gold or something, but from the cross, who gave his life for us. And all the glory that we hear in St. John's Gospel is about the cross and him laying down his life. And of course, in heaven, he is absolutely in glory, but it's a different kind of glory to kingly, earthly kingly glory. It's a glory full of joy and peace and righteousness and love and life and laying down one's life. And it's a glory that he asks us and invites us to be part of as we lay down our lives joyfully and love people and give our lives for them. All right. Well, let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are the humble King, the servant King. Forgive me my pride. Forgive us, Lord, where we are self-seeking. Forgive me, Lord. Help us, we pray. Lead us by your Spirit in following your footsteps in the way of the cross. The way which brings joy and life and peace. The way which is about enhancing others' mana. The way that's about manaki and blessing others. Lord Jesus, lead us in your way of life, which is the way of the cross. In your name we pray. Amen.